Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is the Toronto Today podcast. I'm your host, Greg Brady.
This one has no easy answers, but we have to keep trying. This is really concerning in terms of data that shows Toronto's homeless shelters have become a lot more violent. This is a new study from CAMH, and it's oftentimes this ends up being the case. Small number of occupants, large number of critical incidents. But what do we do and how do we fix it? And we've got to make sure it's safe, because this is a big reason, though, we're trying to get people out of tents, out of bad weather. You know what Toronto is. You freeze. It gets cold outside. You freeze. You die. It's that simple. And we need to make sure that these shelters are as safe as possible. And have some safeguards there for them. Joining us on the line to discuss, Alejandro Bravo is Toronto City Councilor for Ward 9 and chair of the city's Economic and Community Development Committee. It's nice to have you back on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. And we'll talk about a few different issues, I hope. But this CAMH study is concerning. When that gets laid out, Alejandro, that this is small amount of people committing a large amount of the incidents, or at least alleging to have, does that tell you we got a lot of people that just want in out of the cold, want to get themselves together and want to get back on their feet, and the violence or the fear thereof makes it really hard for them to do it?
I think that definitely one of the challenges is that we have to shelter people in the condition that they're in, and people have come out of the pandemic a lot more ill. Long-term homelessness itself, living unhoused, makes you sick. Then you've got the affordability crisis, more people becoming homeless every day because of eviction, because they just can't afford rent. And so you have a perfect storm there. I think what's really important about this study, Greg, is that the City of Toronto's shelter division wanted to know. You know, it was the idea of that division to contact CAMH, provided funding. There was additional research money that was sent from the federal government. Now we have a better picture of what's going on. I think that the numbers of, like you said it before in your comments, their incidents have gone up all over society. Why would it be any different in the shelter system? But yeah, there are a few things that are making it more complicated, and that includes just the sheer number of people that are, you know, record number of people that are being accommodated right now. And it gives us a few clues about what can be done differently. We really need intensive supports for the people that actually are in crisis, and they're not getting the help they need from the healthcare system, and they need the housing that's going to support them.
The data shows 24 people in 2021 involved in 638 critical incidents, but I do think Torontonians will read that and say, how could we allow them to stay that long and be involved in that many incidents? They're clearly putting others at risk, and there aren't a lot of lessons being learned. And to your point, we have an opioid crisis. We have a lot of people having distinct and clear, obvious mental health / drug problems. Should they be in essence, the general population and harming their ability to get better?
Yeah, I think we have to look at, like, what needs do they have that aren't being met? You know, the reality is, like, overall, we don't have mental health care. Everybody's in crisis, from small children to a wealthy senior isn't able to get that kind of health care. We have lineups in emergency rooms. So we do have to look at this from the perspective of the need for support that isn't available there. And that's a really important thing to take to the provincial government, to the federal government. Mental health is a crisis across the board. And then the question of what kind of programs can we offer? It's really important that this report brings forward a few ideas. Number one is we have to have shelters built, organized to serve the needs of particular groups. That's an important takeaway here. And it's something that's going to be taken forward into the next phases of the work, which is the shelter safety plan. Our committee asked for a report to come back by the end of the year, in time to inform the budget process. And then the city has a historic, I think first time in the amalgamated city, a capital plan for shelters. What are we going to build out? Purposely built buildings we can acquire and renovate, and really be intentional about who is staying where and how we're going to help them. Because I think that the principle here is that everybody needs a roof over their head. Nobody does well if they don't have one. The longer that you're left outside and without support, the more ill you're going to become. And it's really important to know that, you know, the day that you start to worry about becoming evicted, then you're evicted, your baby's sleeping on someone's couch, then you're on the street. That's going to make you really sick as well.
Alejandro Bravo is our guest on Toronto Today on 640 Toronto. I also see part of the study is assault on staff itself up 400%. And look, you and I know, I don't deal with violence in my workplace. You don't either. Not everyone's going to like everything you or I say all the time. That's part of the gig. Yes. But we're not going to get assaulted. And I don't know how we keep good men and women working in a shelter system if they're worried about a physical assault on their body every day, right?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the problems also, you know, in the sector, and especially in not-for-profits, so wages are lower. Increasing at a rapid enough pace. So that's really have to think about it, because workforce is a big problem in health, in childcare, personal support workers. But in this situation, it's certainly sharpened by the incidents that occur. Like, we have a responsibility to those workers, because when we say Toronto Shelter services are people. So we have to, you know, the actions here are really to make sure that the person in crisis is getting the services that they need and are being protected from harm themselves. The rest of the people that are being sheltered feel safe inside those shelters, and that the staff are safe. So it's really, you know, it's a big task, like you said. It starts with actually looking at the problem, being brave enough to name it, and that's the only way that you're going to deal with it. And then now taking the actions. And we have the plans that we're building out. So I think it's a really commendable thing to do. And it's something that we're being very transparent about. And I think it's going to help us to do the kind of intergovernmental work that we need to build out the kind of the healthcare piece of this. And then at the same time, we need the public to support what the city is doing. And so that you know where our property taxes are going, are keeping people safe.
We've certainly got an opioid crisis. I think we have a mental health crisis, and they kind of combine and slam up against each other. And we're going to start to see this more as the weather gets better, and people can survive outside as opposed to not being able to in December and January. I don't think this is coming to council next week or the week after, but I'm betting it's in the summer. And I'm sure you're watching what they're attempting to do in BC. The NDP provincial government is walking back the idea of decriminalizing the possession of drugs for personal use. Now, Toronto applied for an exemption, and so far it just hasn't moved in either direction right now. But is this something that needs to be really looked at? A lot of hard questions, a lot of conversations. I want addiction treated as a health issue too, not a criminal matter. But there are limitations to what we can allow in public parks, on our streets, in restaurants and coffee shops. We got to find that balance, don't we?
Sure. And, you know, I'm a vice chair of the Board of Health. We're following these issues really closely. The medical officer of health made it clear in a recent statement that it's a bit of apples and oranges here. Toronto never applied for an exemption for open drug use. So we're not talking about, you know.
No, just decriminalization, not arresting people for personal use. Right.
Yeah. So if you have personal possession, and at the time it's very uncontroversial, because even the chief of police, the police supported it, because it's not the best use of resources to pick somebody up because they're carrying small amount of drugs for personal use. It's still illegal to traffic. It still would be illegal for open drug use. So it's a bit different than what BC was doing. I think that you said it, that the drug addiction or abuse is a health problem. And it's really important to note that we have to make sure that people are receiving the help that they need when they want it. If there is, they do have a problem, that those services aren't really there. And the use of, you know, policing service resources and dollars aren't well spent in sort of saying, hey, you've got a small amount of drugs, we're going to arrest you and put you through a court process. And actually, it doesn't help people get
no,
better.
No, it won't help them get better. I think it's more if they're using them in public spaces, in restaurants, in hospitals, I think police have a responsibility to compel them to leave, either take their drugs. Arresting should be the final option. I got to leave it there, but I hope we can have a longer conversation about it in the weeks to come, Alejandro. I appreciate you being on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Today podcast. We drop the highlights of The Daily Show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can hear the entire show on the radio, at home, on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa or say, hey, Google, play 640 Toronto or Toronto Today. You can hear us on between 5:30 and 9 weekdays on 640 Toronto. Have a great day.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.